Welcome back to the Ultimate Playlist Podcast full of choice tracks. I'm Taj.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Damon.
And I'm Dietrich.
All right. That's what I'm looking for. So here on Choice Tracks, folks, we have a side A and a side B. Side A is a theme where we pick songs that match that theme. And side B is where we review an album that one of us picked. So let's go ahead and go to side A.
All right.
So I dropped the knee on side A. This week's theme is, so I grew up with, I don't know, I had a weird childhood. Anyways, I grew up with my sister listening to Dr. Demento. And so for those of you that don't know, Dr. Demento was a radio show, and it like classically would play like comedy tracks and then some stand-up stuff. Some stuff that I heard that I didn't pick for my choice tracks is like, you know, is like Boot to the Head, which is more like a radio skit about a guy that he's trying to get a kung fu sensei, and he's trying to tell him that you gotta meditate. He's like, no, I want to learn how to kick people's ass, and he's like, boot to the head, and he like knocks the guy out. So it had stuff like that, but it was interesting because it would play old school like Spike Jones, type of wacky comedy stuff, and then it would do modern stuff. And one of the reasons why people may know Dr. Demento is because he Weird Al kind of started on that radio station, and then he kind of grew from there. But it was interesting to have all the different types of comedy songs that appeared. And so it's kind of the, just to give a time frame. So I'm trying to get the time frame because I want to say it was in like the 70s to the 80s. So it started in like in 1970 was the actual when the radio show started. And it went for a good, like, I want to say 15 years, but I don't have the exact dates here. So, but that's what I picked for the theme was the song that played on Dr. Demento. So this song that I picked was a classic. So the song I picked was Camp Granada, or you may also know as Hello Mother, Hello Father.
Hello Mother, Hello Father, here I am at Camp Granada, camp is very...
It's a guy that's singing about a son writing a letter from a camp, and it in the background is playing a classical piece of music by Ponchielli, Ponchielli, sorry. Anyway, so it's one of those things that it kind of invokes Looney Tunes, What's Opera Doc, you know, where it's a piece of classical music, but the lyrics don't match to it. But this is just like, it's such a classic song. Like, and so during research for this, like, and plus I was trying to figure out which song to pick, like my kids, like for all these episodes, you know, sometimes I'm playing the music that doesn't have explicit lyrics. And sometimes they're like, turn that off. My son loves Camp Granada. He thinks it's the funniest stuff ever. And so it was one of those songs that I don't know how you can't pick it. It has to be up there in one of the top 10 classic comedy songs of all time. So the artist on that is L. Sherman. And so crazy thing was like he kind of came to fame and then it kind of died out come the like the 80s. So the song was actually released in 1963. He died in 1973. So he died 10 years after releasing this song. But it's, yeah. Anyways, that's where I'm coming from. So what did you guys think of Hello Mother, Hello Father?
Well, I will say it's definitely a classic. I've heard that song before. Not quite sure where, but it's probably been used in commercials too or something, right? Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, definitely a classic, definitely fits the bill for this theme. It is definitely one of the great novelty songs, I think, for sure. It's very entertaining, very funny, just as relevant today as it was probably when it first came out. You know, people can still relate to that song. listening to it even today. I think, you know, summer camp still exists, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
I think this is an excellent choice. A great way to start the theme. It's kind of one of those songs that you listen to and go, I need to create a theme for our podcast so I can pick this as a choice track. So, you know, and you did it. So, great choice. I've always liked the song. It's always fun to listen to. It's a good pick.
Okay. So, feature theme.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's this is a classic. And I think it was in a movie that I remember seeing in like the early 2000s, and I just can't remember the name of it, but it was about a camp, and it was like this kind of comedy, this kind of, I'll think of it before the episode's over, and then maybe
okay.
I'll figure it out. But yeah, the camp screwed out is cool. I mean, this is kind of like a weird, wacky, like, you know, he's like, hello, Mata, you know, that kind of like, almost like borderline between Adam Sandler and like show tunes or something, but
right.
It's like, you know, that's, and I really do like Weird Al, you know, and UHF is a great movie too, and that kind of humor, that's like, you know, that's all he does. And I wanted to pick a Weird Al song at first, but I was like, you know, like all his music's that. So, but different. It brings you to a different place with music. And I think it's fun, but I wouldn't pick this as like, I wouldn't go out and get the album, or like, I might go get Adam Sandler's album, his comedy album, stuff like that. But right. Maybe it's because it's more, there's also like a stand-up element to it too.
Right.
And I think that this is definitely wacky funny, but it's like, you almost have to really kind of like read into it and listen to it, you know, what they're saying and what they're trying to go for. I think it can be hard to understand. It's definitely, it's not foreign to me, like this kind of comedy and music, and, you know, like playing words with songs and stuff like that. It's not foreign to me, but it definitely can be a misfit on its own. That style, yeah. You know?
Well, yeah, and it's different. It's definitely old school comedy. Like, it's not modern, yeah. and I'm not sure that it's exactly timeless, but it's not modern, so for sure.
No, definitely not. It's like, almost like, would you say Leave It to Beaver time? Like that, about that era?
Well, but 63, so it's making fun of like 50s, 40s stuff in this, in a way. I still think it's more of a direct correlation to Looney Tunes, What's Opera Doc. It's a direct correlation to taking classical music and then putting modern lyrics on it. Like, it's kind of using, right. It's using the high culture of classical music, but making it lowbrow comedy. You know what I'm trying to say?
I know, yeah, it's weird. It's like, yeah. Kind of like in a roundabout way, it's how I was describing it too. But
yeah.
But it's like they take the funny paper, the funnies, and then you add music to it. The whole, and the whole, like, What's Up, Doc? I mean, that's, that's funny. The 60s picking on the 50s and 40s.
Yeah.
Definitely hilarious, too. Just that thought, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was kind of taken back by this one, only because I had heard it before, but I heard it in like an actual kid's voice. So that to me was like it was like a funnier situation because it actually sounded like a kid from camp writing it. And then like when he first came in, like he literally reminded me of Peter Griffin. that's the sound that I got from it. So, you know, knowing the whole tone of how he was saying everything that he was saying and how it was coming across, it was like, okay, I can definitely understand that this would be funny in a different era. It's definitely timed. It's not timeless. It's timed. But right. you have to appreciate the sentiment that was coming from for that time. It was perfect because it's not quite Monty Python, but it's like close to that era of, you know, I'm gonna say a couple of funny things in here, and you know, you have to take it from a kid's point of view. So, you know, it's definitely that type of what's the best way to put it? Best way to put it is it's not quite slapstick, but it's damn near like right on top of. And it definitely works, and I can see why it would be on a radio station because that's exactly, you know, pre Howard Stern, that's exactly how everybody, you know, got known or you know, famed off of their radio stations for having sketch comedies and people coming in voice actors and all types of stuff. So yeah, man, it definitely had to grow on me for a second, but ultimately, you know, I liked it.
So get this. This song was number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100s for 3 weeks, beginning August 24th. It didn't get number 1 because it lost to Fingertips by Stevie Wonder and My Boyfriend's Back by The Angels were the number 1 songs for the 3 weeks that it was number 2.
So that means there probably wasn't shit going on there that time.
That's just crazy. Like, how did this song get to number 2?
Yeah, that's funny.
Right? So, but yeah. So, but okay. Well, I guess we'll go, Damon, what did you pick?
I went a little bit off the beaten path here. So you gave us like a year range, and I was thinking of like, okay, so what is, I kind of like the first thing I thought of was UHF and that style of comedy. And then I started thinking about all the Weird Al stuff. And then I was thinking like, you know, just like the newer stuff that, not new, definitely not new, but newer. This is a song by a band called Green Jelly, a comedy, kind of like comedy punk band. I don't know if all their songs are like this, but like little, so this is Three Little Pigs.
Tell them three little pigs and a big bad wolf.
And it has, there's like a music video that's hilarious. And then this is like the lyrics, you know, it's a play on nursery rhyme. Yeah, it's just funny. It's fun. I remember it being on the radio a lot. The album came out in 89. So this is off of a Triple Live, Mother Goose at Budokan. It's like, okay, where are you guys going? Oh yeah, I thought that'd be kind of fun to throw in like a punk comedy band with some of the other stuff, because it's, yeah, it's a little bit different. But this is a song I remember when I was growing up, and I thought it was kind of like, when I first heard it, I was like, whoa, this is so weird. And I heard it on the radio, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I never heard anything like this. So what'd y'all think of that?
So what I'll say is I am very familiar with the song. I loved the music video,
yeah.
And I used to watch that music video all the time. And I actually revisit that music video from time to time. So nice. When you picked this song, like that was my go-to. Like I'm not listening to it on Spotify. I'm gonna watch that music video that I've seen 1,000 times. Right. So that's my introduction to Green Jelly, though they were known as Green Jello when I first knew them, yeah, as a right band, and then they were gonna get sued, and so they changed it to Green Jelly. You know, so my introduction to them was definitely through the music video, because I was, yeah, played either on like heavy rotation or,
yeah,
it might have been, there used to be a channel where you could pay to watch music videos, and I remember you could sometimes see it in the scrambled image back in the 90s. So anyway, yeah, I've always loved the song. In fact, like this could have potentially been a song that I might have picked down the road for one of our themes, because it's just one that I am really familiar with, and I'm glad that you picked it, and now I can save one of my choice tracks for a different episode. So I've always loved the song, but I especially love the music video.
Yeah, that's why I thought that would be the case. Like, at least one of y'all would be like, yeah, I know that video. Oh, yeah. I think it was pretty popular. So.
It was very popular. I remember the claymation going into it and the hard rock and the big bad wolf with the sunglasses and throwing them on and the pigs were just rocking out in their houses. Nope on the hair with my chinny chin chin. That was the best shit growing up, man. Like, that was the best. So I definitely loved it. I thought that was a great pick. It definitely took me back in time. It was like, man, I remember this, watching this on MTV or watching it on I can't even remember what else we were watching back then, but yeah, it was on definitely on MTV in every rotation. I was watching and loving that video every time it came on. So I dig it, man. I dig it.
Yeah, I thought that you guys would like that movie.
So I liked it. When I listened to it, it's like it kind of stirred her memory, but I can't remember if I exactly knew it. I know I haven't seen the video, so now I gotta track down the music video and watch it. But yeah, but the song itself, yeah, it just rocks. And then yeah, that high part with the pigs, it's like I get the comedy on it, and I'm trying to figure out if they're trying to like make fun of like hair bands like Queen and stuff with the high pitch there, or if it's. But it just works.
It's just Three Little Pigs, man. It's just
right. Yeah, it's doing their pig thing.
Doing their pig thing, and they all got high pitched voices. You're not gonna knock down my house.
Let me in. Yeah, and then the best left turn at the end of that song is like the pigs call the cops and the cops send over Rambo. That's the most comedy left turn ever.
And there you go with UHF, right? The Rambo scene.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it reminds me of a little bit.
Right.
It definitely hit the mark, man. That's how you know you made a great ass song when you can throw Rambo in the mix.
And it works. So. I'm glad that like there's more than just that like one style that fits this episode. And I at first I was thinking like, wow, what the heck am I gonna pick? But yeah, that worked.
That worked. Okay. So all right. So we're rolling along. Dietrich, what did you have?
So I picked a track, an ode to my friend, my comrade, my compadre, somebody that I've known for a pretty good while here and had this car until freaking wheels fell off and probably still has it. But if he got rid of it, I think he sold it for like 10 bucks at a bag of Skittles. But I picked, the group's name was Damascus. It was from the 1980s album Dementia Royale. Excuse me, I don't know where that came from. The song name of the song is "Making Love in a Subaru."
Making love in a Subaru. That's what I wanna do with you. We can always feel around the steering wheel.
And it's a funny little diddle that comes into play, and it's talking about trying to have intercourse inside of a Subaru, which everything that could go wrong will go wrong. And kind of makes you second guess everything you thought you were going to be doing in that Subaru. Whether you're sticking your foot out the sunroof or you popping the clutch and then we're going to be rolling off the cliff, or now I'm getting scratches from the seatbelts and the cracked leather and the whole nine. So yeah, it's definitely a fun little thing. And I'm not going to mention my buddy's name who had that Subaru, but I'm pretty sure he tried to play the song. He was trying to make out with somebody and it probably didn't work out that way. So but he's married and got kids now, so everything's all good. So yeah, y'all tell me what y'all think about Making Love in a Subaru by Damascus.
So, well, I had never heard it before, but I liked it. I especially like the part that the piano comes in. It's like the old timey, like Western bar saloon, like piano player. And then he just goes into it and you're like, what are you going on about? And yeah, it's the whole, yeah, it was a perfectly suited song. So for sure.
Oh, man. Oh, cool. Anybody else? What y'all think?
I had never heard that song. It was the only song out of our choices I had never heard before. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very entertaining. I actually had a Subaru, a very like an 80s Subaru. So I know what he's talking about. It was a good song for sure. I'm glad that you introduced it to me because, yeah, like I said, I never heard that one, but it was fun. And as a Subaru owner, I understand.
That's what's up, Damon. What you think, bro?
I never owned a Subaru, but I've rented one recently, and I didn't make love at it. So yeah, I don't know if I'd have to buy the car afterwards after the rental. So I was just like, I think I'll pass. But yeah, it's funny. I used to you don't want to wake up the neighborhood. So I get this picture of, like, this whole thing happening.
Yeah.
Calamity. Things are, just running, running into the windows and shit. And kids walking by. I don't know. Yeah. That's hilarious, man.
Well, plus he talks about honking the horn. And then there's another, left turn in there where she's like, ow, something hurt my foot. And it's like, oh, you found my bong in my joint. And you're like, what the hell?
That's how it's supposed to be.
All right.
That's how you know it's real.
Exactly.
It's not real love in the car until you hurt yourself. Or you try to go to the back of a DMV and open up the back door and try and get it in, and then you get your ass bit up by mosquitoes. So, all in all, yeah, just try to avoid making love in a Subaru if you can. Right.
Yeah, this is like almost like the 40-year-old virgin. 40-year-old virgin? Yeah. It's kind of that sort of awkwardness of, I am a Subaru owner, trying to get some, what's up, ladies, or dudes, whatever. And and then just everything gets fucked up. That's what you get for owning a Subaru.
Right?
I loved my Subaru, dude.
It's not their fault. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I'll confess, I had the Subaru too.
So. So let me ask you, Subaru owners, this situation. Did any of these infractions happen while owning your Subaru and trying to, seduce your significant others?
No comment.
Enough said. All right. Moving right along.
Right.
That's what I thought, Brandon.
A Subaru owner doesn't kiss and tell.
It's probably why they're so safe. Exactly. Oh, man.
All right. So, Brandon, that leaves you.
Yes, that does leave me. Just really quick, I just want to give a shout out because this is perfect timing because we're doing Dr. Demento episode. There was a Weird Al biopic that just came out on Roku channel. Everyone should watch it. Rainn Wilson plays Dr. Demento in it. Dr. Demento, it's very fun. Okay, with that plug being said, we're not getting paid for this. So I really wanted to try to steer clear of Weird Al, not because I don't like Weird Al. I love Weird Al. I've seen Weird Al, and I think we could probably do a Weird Al episode. Kind of why I didn't pick a Weird Al song. I definitely went down the rabbit hole, and I wasn't quite sure what was played on the radio and what wasn't, but I kind of went with some songs that I was familiar with, and there was one that I knew right away that I'm like, oh, I hope that it was on there. And it was, and that was the song I chose. And the song I chose was Junk Food Junkie by Larry Grossi.
In the daytime, I'm Mr. Natural, just as healthy as I can be. But at night, I'm a junk food junkie. Good Lord, have pity on me.
And I sure hope I said his last name right. The song came out in 1976. Larry Grossi is a singer-songwriter and a radio host. It's kind of crazy, kind of going back to your song, Taj. This was on the U.S. charts for 15 weeks, and it even reached number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100, which I'm like, man, they have different times, dude. I don't think that would happen now, for sure. I cannot tell you when I first heard the song, but every time I hear the song, I always laugh. I think the lyrics are hysterical. I think the song is still relevant today. I think we all are this junk food junkie. It's just a very funny song, a very honest song. I love the recording too, because you can hear the audience and are laughing to the song. It's just, I don't know, it's just a perfect comedy novelty song. I think it's definitely one of the best. And it's, yeah, it's just very, very entertaining. And I really think that, you know, this is definitely fits the theme for sure. And I think it's one of the best comedy songs that I can think of right off the top of my head.
For sure. So this one, I had heard it before, and it came up during my research, and I was like, oh, this is a good song. And I totally did not peg you for picking this song, but I was like, it's like, yeah, I can. It's an excellent comedy song, because you're like, the delivery of it is just like perfect. Like when he drops into it, like you're like, you have no idea where the song's going. He's like, and I open up the lockbox and then pull out the Twinkie. You're like, what? Like, so, but yeah, and it is relevant, because especially with people trying diet and stuff, like we all know what it's mean to try and diet and then drop off of it. And that's kind of what the song is like. You can say that you're this, but we know secretly somewhere you're eating something you shouldn't. So, but yeah,
you got the Twinkie stash. Yeah. Yeah. And I only eat the good sea salt. Oh, they're coming. Oh, man. Okay. As far as the song, this was a hell of a choice, man. I love it. This one I listened to second, and it literally got me into the swing of what we were talking about and what's going on. So it's like, okay, I see how comedy and music can merge together and can make stuff happen. And especially now hearing about it being on the charts for as long as it was, it's like, okay, I get it. I can see it. I can see it. It's literally putting it in your face what you're doing behind closed doors, trying not to let everybody else know that you are a junk food junkie. But yeah, you might as well just come out. You know, admitting is the first step. So I'm good with it.
What year did this come out again,
Brandon? 76.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, because I can almost hear like Adam Sandler's comedy music in that, and like a little bit of Dennis Leary's, like kind of like his humor. Like it sounds like he's picking on, like a lot of comedians I've heard pick on like Whole Foods and other natural food stores and stuff like that. And then he's drinking a Dr. Pepper. Is that where you got the Dr. Pepper from tonight, Brandon?
No, homage to, coincidence.
Very gross. Yeah. Oh, okay.
But he only got the small can, though. He didn't get the big one.
Right, yeah.
You got half the calories. So you're doing good.
That's like that meme, or that gift that's out here on TikTok. It's like, you had pizza today. Yeah, but I only had two slices. Yeah, but you're supposed to be on a diet. Yeah, but I wanted four slices, but I only ate two. Yeah.
That could be my logic too. And I thought it was hilarious. Like a lot of the people that go to, like, it's like everybody, you go to these health food stores, you try to eat healthy for like one meal. And then I've done this where I eat a healthy dinner and then my dessert is like fucked up. Or I have like a few drinks afterwards and it's like, oh, okay.
People, they go into McDonald's and order the double cheeseburger and the fries and then, you know, double up on the cheese and get like five different nugget things. And all of a sudden you get the Diet Coke. Like, just go to balance all that out.
But I got the Diet Coke.
I wanted the real Coke, but I got the Diet Coke.
Yeah. So, like a previous episode, Metallica got to me. So.
So.
Sponsored by Coke Zero.
Yeah. Wait, cool. So before we go on, I guess one thing I wanted to kind of point out, another reason why I kind of brought this up is like, because it'll be apparent when we continue, I guess, is, you know, back in this era, it was kind of like comedians did a lot of records. Like there was a lot of stand-up records. And then like I almost even picked Steve Martin had a stand-up album. Plus he had some songs that were actual comedy songs. And it's like some of the great comedians like did musical tracks, you know, as part of their stuff. And, you know, nowadays it's kind of because there's so many different ways to get the media, like sometimes comedy and music is not as prevalent as it was, or maybe it is. And it's just, not as center stage or something. But yeah, I just,
it's taken on a different platform. Like now it's in the social media. Now people will make up different songs about things that are going on, and you'll see it go viral in a social media aspect, but not necessarily in record sales or anything of that nature.
Right.
But still comedians out here. There's still comedy music that's out here. It's just a different way of a different format of how it's coming.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
So. Well, all right. Well, why don't we go ahead and jump to our second part of the podcast. So we're going to go ahead and drop the needle on side B. So this is where the last episode, Taj selected an album for us to listen to. And Taj is here to discuss that album. Taj,
yes.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about what we listened to.
Yeah, okay. All right. So the album I picked, and like I said, I'm going, you know, as being a blasphemer, was Jesus H. Christ and the Four Hornsmen of the Apocalypse. I cannot tell you when I first found or heard this album. It might have been e-music. I think it had to have been because I had a Zune at the time where I would download song files on. And I know it was either on the Zune or when I did on CDs. Like, it did not like the name, the length of the name, because I would have to truncate the album name or the band name, because since they were both exactly the same, it was too many characters and it was like, cannot load file. You're like, why can't you load the file? And so, this is totally an East Coast band. So the story behind it is that the lead singer, Risa Mickenberg, she had gotten for a birthday present songwriting lessons with one of the guys, and then they wrote one song together, and then they ended up writing another song, and then that's how they formed the band and made some songs. What I like best about their debut album is that, I like all the songs. Plus, I like that there's not horns in all the songs. I kind of like the irony of, like, it's called Four Horns of the Apocalypse, and, like, there's only a couple songs with the horns in it. They did do one more album, which is Happier Than You. So, and that album had a lot more tracks on it. It was okay. It wasn't as good as this one, and it had way more content, but the songs weren't as polished. And then that's it. They stopped doing music. So she was a Broadway person. She actually she's on IMDb. So she's done some movies and stuff and has moved on. But like, this is just one of those flash in the pans that I was like, it just was there. And you're like, this is a great album. And then it's like, I can't even call it a one hit wonder, because it was just like an album that was there and then gone. If I had to pick a song in here, I love the whole album really, but the one that gets me, it's just because it's is obviously
you slept with that girl from your reunion. I just don't see why you deny it. You guys obviously slept together. I don't care. I mean, I think she's a
because that song, I know it's mostly spoken word, but it's like, that song, it's about like, well, obviously you slept with that girl in the high school reunion. And then the whole part later on where you're like, oh, and you fell asleep at my mom's house, like, try and stay awake and have a normal conversation. Like, that whole story, like, you can picture the whole story in that one song. And you're like, yeah, it just gets me chuckling. So that's my take and why I picked this. And like I said, there was no way I could follow up, could let the opportunity to follow up Christian rock with this band. It was there. You have to take the punchline when you see it. Anyways.
Blasphemy. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, Damon's got some words.
Right.
Well, that was one word, right? Or is that two? That was three syllables and one word.
I think it's one word.
Okay.
So, who wants to start?
I think you already did, Brandon.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you did when you said
blasphemy. No, it's all I had to say.
That's my one-word review. That was one word review for the album.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and I'll chime in here. It was interesting. I mean, like right away, I'm like, what am I listening to? You know, and it definitely is a good companion album to the theme for sure.
Right.
I can see why you picked the theme. Like, I think, did you pick the theme after you knew what album you were going to do?
No, I think I can't remember. I might have.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, yeah, it was, it's interesting. Like, I don't love it, but I don't dislike it. Right. Like it's enjoyable, but I don't know if I'll ever listen to it again. Right. Like it was entertaining, and I listened to it a second time, and my first instinct listening to it kind of creeped up on me again listening to it a second time. Like, I still don't know how I feel about this. But I know I don't dislike it, you know. I don't dislike it. Like, there are definitely some very entertaining songs for sure, and it is very unique. Like, I can't think of too many albums that are very similar to this. So it definitely is in its own, you know, stratosphere for sure. But overall, like, I did enjoy it. I don't know if I'll go, you know, seek out any other music by them unless you pick it for an episode in the future. But yeah, I mean, overall, I did enjoy it. Like I said, some of the songs were funny, but I just don't still quite know what just happened. Anyway, but it was a little jarring when I first listened to it, you know? So I'm like, what did he just say? Okay, all right. Let's go with it. But, you know, I definitely like some of the lyrics for sure. And I just like that, the attitude that she has, you know, because you just don't hear a lot of female singers singing about the things that she sings about. And I'm like, this is awesome. So I really enjoy that part, you know. If I had to pick a song, I would probably, because I'm like, what is going on? What did she say? And that song that I think this is my favorite is Do Me.
I heard your wife died the other day. I wanna be the first one to say that I want you to do me.
I really like that one. That was a fun song to listen to. Very, very empowering for sure.
Right.
So yeah, I would go with Do Me. That would be that'd be my track from this album.
So. Right. Yeah, Do Me.
Oh man.
Well, Do Me is one of those where, like, you're trying to picture it. Like, who is this guy? Like, you think he's like, has to be like some movie star that just lost his wife, like, and that's why he's trying to rush in. Like, or is
you
it
lost
just,
your wife the other day? And I'll hey, you want to do me?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm dying for you to do me. Like.
Right. Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Let me gather myself here. So, the Dr. Dementos thing, I could definitely understand.
Uh-huh.
This shit went left real quick, and I'm pointing right. like when I first heard the first song off the album, I literally thought this was like a South Park album, because that's what her voice reminded me of, like one of the South Park characters. And so I'm like, okay, this is gonna be funny. And like, no, Kadesh,
Wendy. That's Wendy.
Yeah, said it for fucking me. Like,
right.
Wow. Like the whole damn area of Connecticut. That's all they do is fuck. So it's like, wow, okay. And then we start going into other songs. Do Me definitely stuck out for the first line. Like the first lines, the one hit lines, like the singers are there. Like, they definitely put in some good writing credit. Not to take up too much. Do Me was one of my favorite choices as well. But my other two that I would have to say is Between Nipples and It's Okay in the USA. And I think just for sheer song, like, completeness, I'm going to say my favorite track on here is It's Okay in the USA.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's okay.
Because that literally just exposed us as Americans. Like, you can be fat, you can be loud, you can be everything that the other world doesn't accept, but it's okay here. Thank you. You're good. So, yeah, that was a good parody on that situation. So I think I'm my choice track out of here would be that. But yeah, I'm kind of with Brandon on this. I'm still in like the mindfuck stage. Like, what did I listen to? Where am I going to take this from here? Am I going to share this with somebody else? Probably not. If I need like a good gag order or something like that nature, like a good gag reel, then I'll probably pick one of these songs off of here. But like for like seriousness, trying to share, I don't know if I could do that. But it does fit the theme, and I see where you're going for. So. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, good job.
What's interesting is like when I was doing research for the choice tracks, like there's a song that it's a straight up 99 Balloons parody, but it's 99 words for boobs. And then, you know, but that's a guy singing about boobs. It was just interesting. Nipples is interesting because it's a female singing about nipples.
Yeah, I can show you my nipples. And I'm like, and it sounds like the girl from Ipanema. And I'm like, what? Where are we going with this? It's got that little Caribbean, like not Caribbean, but the little like island vibe to it. Just,
oh, yeah.
Vibe, and it's like, what in the hell? Where? Oh, okay. Show me what's going on. But yeah, it's definitely an out there album. The fact that you came up with it does not surprise me.
Okay.
I'll just leave it at that. Damon, what you got, man?
Yeah, this is definitely like the sarcastic anthem for women's suffrage. or just like Connecticut's way of, you know, the lazy man's or woman's way of saying you want to fuck. Let's just get right to it. I don't want to buy you a nice dinner and give you a rose or whatever. It's just Connecticut just for fucking.
It's true for humans, cows and dogs. Connecticut for fucking. That's all there is to do.
Because otherwise it sucks.
Connecticut now.
No, it did say buying antiques. You can buy antiques or buy.
Yeah, you can go antiquing and then get it out. I think there's like, it's definitely like sarcasm at its greatest. And it's also like a statement on how like the people that are like this, you know, it's like it picks on girls and guys and for different reasons, for different things, like vampire girls. It's just like the cattiest bitch you saw ever. Right. You know, Doomy's funny.
Wait,
but it's like, again, it's like very sarcastic.
Yeah.
Sarcastically Doomy.
Yeah, with that vampire
son
girl's
of a bitch.
Like, vampire girls, introduce me to your contacts. I mean, your parents. You're like,
yeah, right. But yeah, I thought this was hilarious, but it was also really fucking weird. So it was like, as I'm listening to it, I kind of feel like maybe more how Brandon was saying, like, I want to like it, but part of me doesn't like it. Like, I kind of went through it a few times. I think I listened to the album 3 times. And it, like, was easy to, like, listen to as I'm working or whatever. But then all of a sudden, you know, like, some of the lyrics pop up, and you're like, oh, you catch one or two of the, you know, lines. You're like, okay. I got a little chuckle out of that. But yeah, I like Connecticut's for fucking, for sure.
So that's you.
That was funny. Nipples was all... Nipples was great, but it's like also, it's kind of like, yeah, sarcasm too. Because, I mean, she's like singing about boobs and has every word in the dictionary for boobs. But then, you know, it's really like, that's not all I am. I'm not just boobs and nipples, you know. So, yeah, good message. Jesus H. Christ.
Right. So
I had fun with it. Yeah, I wouldn't play it at a bar mitzvah, but... Nor would I probably ever be at a bar mitzvah, actually. So
never know.
That's true. It might be fun. Hopefully it's not in Connecticut, because then you know what's going to happen.
Well, you know what to do there.
Right. Yeah.
Look at the bartender and be like, you know what to do.
I don't want to know things like you get off the plane at the airport. It's like, do we do it now or
is there like a protocol?
Is there a room? Like, where do I go?
Do I need a permit for this? Like, what is going on?
Is this like Amsterdam where you're just going to be advertising it down the street or what the heck? What's the deal?
Yeah.
So, okay. All right. And the.
All right.
That was it. All right.
I think that's it.
I love that
one. Yeah. Yeah. That line was, yeah.
Super fire, right? Still yeah. Trying to cosplay what we were listening to. Like, yeah, it's still kind of yeah. Off guard, buddy.
You got to listen to it to believe it.
Right.
But it's great, too, because it like does just like Weird Al's movies and his music, too. Like, it just picks on how absurd we are as humans.
Right.
Everything that we do isn't that serious, you know? It's like, have fun with it, man. And don't be an asshole.
The other song that always stands out to me is like, she's a six. Cause that one's just like going through it. Like when she does this, she's a 6 point something, but if she does this, she's 6 point something else. You're like,
what? It's all in the six range.
It's all in the six range. Yeah. And like, I think the
last, not that great. I mean,
the last one that's like, when she's drunk, she's a 6.9. You're like, what?
Hey, this is better than three, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Could have been a four or a five.
But also, right. Yeah, that's a statement for sure.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
But it didn't last very long. It was a short-lived band. I mean,
right.
I guess they just had fun with it, and they're like, I really don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, and like I said, their second album, like the horn section, like they had way more horns, and it was like way more swingy. Like all the songs were way more like swing songs on their second album.
That's funny.
Yeah. But that's what I like about this one is the ironic part. It's like, well, it's going to be a bunch of, yeah, there's a few songs with horns, but you're like, they're not like overbearing.
Ellen's Bicoastal.
Yeah.
Like has some horns in it.
Yeah. So, All right. So we have something coming up next week, but in 2 weeks we have homework, right, Brandon?
We do. And I think we should just go ahead and say what the next week's episode is.
Okay.
Because we've done one before. It's another wild card.
Oh, boy. Woo-hoo. Here we go.
Yeah.
Joke your smile.
Back at it. Let's get it. Right.
But yes, I do have homework for you guys for the episode after that. So it'll be 2 weeks time. So it's kind of interesting. One of my choice albums that I did before was from the band Fairport Convention. And one of the founding members, his name is Richard Thompson, and he became a solo artist. And I've actually selected a album from him as a solo artist. And the album is from 1991, and it's called Rumor and Sigh. So it's Richard Thompson, Rumor and Sigh from 1991. Yes. So that'll be your homework for the episode in 2 weeks.
Okay. So, in which Psy, I assume I know which Psy, but I just want...
Like, Psy, S-I-G-H.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Not like Raphael Psy, you know, like going around.
No, Tosh.
Go back to Connecticut. With the
thing. This better be epic. This better beat nipples, I tell you.
It's very similar to what we just listened to. No, it's completely different.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
So yeah, we did one from the band he was in, and now we're gonna do an album by him as a solo artist. So
sweet.
Anyway, yeah.
Cool beans.
All right.
What's the next episode, guys? What are we gonna be talking about? What are we gonna be doing?
Oh, he already said.
Yeah, the wild card. Wild card is gonna be the next episode. That'll be the one from a week from now. And yeah. So we're all gonna bring our A game, and we are each gonna select two songs. And should be fun.
Should be fun. Yes, I'm trying to bring anything.
It should be anything. I don't know if it's gonna be fun, but
it'll be.
Better bring your nipples, because
I was about to say I got nipples on the brain, so I missed it. So it's my bad.
So
all right, Well, before we pick up that needle, Taj, why don't you go ahead and say what you got to say?
Sure thing. All right. We've been Choice Tracks. You can find us on our website at choicetracks.com. We end with a Z, or email us at choicetracks @gmail.com. Again, end with a Z. Please subscribe and listen to all past and future episodes. Let's go ahead and sign out. I've been Taj.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm ready for my next trip to Connecticut. This is Damon.
And I'm new.
Anybody's wondering.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm a 6.4. And we're gonna pick up the needle, but you got to keep spinning those choice tracks.
Obviously, this is the end of the episode.
Is it already?
Oh, yeah. That's all, folks. Bye-bye.